Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Monica Brain. We've all heard the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. From phone calls to text messages soliciting the next big thing, everyone has the potential to be a victim of fraud. Have you ever received an email promising lots of money for just a small investment? What about a phone call claiming that you owe back taxes to the IRS? We've got some experts who can answer your questions about fraud. That's next on Native America Calling, right after National Native News. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A handful of village public safety officers in western Alaska could be the first VPSOs in the state to carry firearms. KYUK's Ben Matheson has more.
A pilot project to arm the first VPSOs has seven candidates in the middle of intensive psychological testing before they advance to training. Captain Andrew Merrill is the Alaska State Troopers commander of the VPSO program.
This pilot project is going to help us design, you know, to review the training process we're using, to look at our selection process, to determine whether it's too strict or whether it's too loose, and to figure out exactly what's going to work best to make sure that we're providing that safe service to our communities and to keep our VPSOs safe.
In 2014, the Alaska legislature passed a law to allow VPSOs to carry guns. It was spurred by the death of a VPSO in Manicotic. In many communities, VPSOs are the only law enforcement. The VPSO, their community, and their nonprofit employer all have to agree to move ahead. For officers who make it through a long series of tests, officials are planning a 21-day course in March. Merrill says that training on the use of force builds on years of preparing troopers for rural Alaska law enforcement.
What options are available to use in different situations based on the totality of what's happening? How does that best apply to resolving the situation as safely as possible?
The VPSOs will use the same 40 caliber Glock pistol that troopers carry, and each VPSO will be paired with a state trooper for experience in an urban part of the state. The trooper will spend time in the VPSO's community for observation and training. Alvin Jimmy is the AVCP VPSO program coordinator, the employer of YK Delta VPSOs. He emphasizes teamwork and collaboration over the coming months.
Working cohesively together as a team to establish the pros and cons towards it, and that's the best way to, from my perspective, to approach it.
The VPSO's anticipated graduation from the academy is April 3rd. For National Native News, I'm Ben Matheson in Bethel, Alaska.
27 of Washington State's 29 tribes are hoping to amend their gaming compacts so that tribes can add more slot machines when needed without red tape and lengthy negotiations. Tristan Autone has more.
Currently, there are around 28,000 slot machines in Washington State. When tribal casinos notice that they need more machines, they have to negotiate to add more, and the way the system currently works, if one tribe gets more machines, all of them get more machines. This afternoon, Washington gambling commissioners will vote to essentially put that process on autopilot. Instead of lengthy negotiations with the state, feds, and a single tribe, an amended gaming compact will allow all nations to add more slot machines when there is a need without cumbersome arbitration. Chris Stearns is chairman of the Washington State Gambling Commission.
If there are less than 500 machines across the entire state that are available for use, that are basically sitting idle, then a tribe can request a 50-machine increase.
Under the amended compact, instead of meeting with state and federal officials to add a few dozen machines to meet market needs, the state's gambling commission will be the regulatory authority making that decision and streamlining the process. The amended compact goes before commissioners today, then must be approved by tribes, the governor, and the federal government. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The White House launched the Gen-I Native Youth Challenge Thursday in Washington, D.C. at a national conference. Youth are encouraged to share positive stories using digital platforms. Those 14 to 24 nonprofits and educational institutions are invited to join. It's part of the administration's effort to improve the lives of Native youth. Valentine's Day cards made by students, churches, and Cherokee Nation citizens are being delivered to veterans today in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Tribal leaders and students will hand them out at a VA medical center. It's part of the tribe's Valentine's for Veterans program. Cards were also delivered to nursing homes this week. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a company that seemed like it was a collection agency. And they wanted to speak to me about something very, very important. But first, they had to verify all of my information. I told them that I don't give out information over the phone, and they were pretty persistent and kept telling me that they had something important they needed to talk to me about, but first needed to verify my information. Well, I didn't give them any of the information, and eventually they stopped calling me, but it got me wondering what would really have happened if I had given out that information. Well, today we're talking about frauds, scams, and general shady business. Have you ever gotten an email or text message telling you that you've won something, or even that you owe money when you know you don't? Call us and tell us about it. Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And as always, you can always call in and be anonymous if you don't want to give out your name. Again, that number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us now from Cherokee, North Carolina is Sean Spruce. He is a programs consultant for the First Nations Development Institute, and he is Laguna Pueblo. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Sean.
Hi, Monica. Great to be here.
It's great to have you, too. So today we're talking about frauds and scams, all kinds of things. And recently, I've heard in the news a couple of different things going on with fraud. One I heard about was that IRS scam calls. Tell us a little bit about those. What's going on with those?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of different scams out there, and you know, now with technology, it's easier than ever to reach people, especially Native people, you know, with text messaging and social media and email. You know, some of our previously remote communities are not so remote anymore, and fraudsters are out there, and they know they can access, you know, Native people that previously they just didn't have any way to get a hold of. So, you know, some of these IRS scams going around are, you know, just these fraudulent offers that, you know, taxpayers have these big refunds or they're due these huge credits. And if they just, you know, provide certain information like social security numbers or, you know, information regarding dependents, critical personal information, you know, they can, you know, help them, you know, get these big refund checks and help them with these credits. And, you know, it's just blatant fraud. It's against the law. And, you know, unfortunately they take advantage of people, and some people offer for the bait, and they go ahead and, you know, release this critical information, and then from there, who knows what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I've also heard that it's in the opposite direction, where you can get these calls and the someone representing themselves from the IRS says that you owe back taxes, and but they need to get your information, and if you just send a check and they can take care of it and things like that. It's pretty scary. From what I've read, Sean, the IRS does not call you. Is that right?
No, they're not supposed to call you. I mean, you know, usually whenever they have any kind of an issue, they will mail you, you know, a formal letter on IRS letterhead. And then there will be a phone number, you know, that you can reach them at. And you can verify that phone number, you know, by checking on their website. Yeah, they're pretty strict, and they've got pretty, you know, rigorous protocol in terms of how they reach out to taxpayers. So anytime somebody just, you know, blindly calls you out of nowhere, you really need to be pretty suspicious of that.
We are talking about frauds and scams today, general shady business. Have you ever encountered something that you thought wasn't quite right? Tell us about it. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We want to hear your story. Or what about when someone calls you on the phone and they've got an offer for you? How do you respond to them? Are you polite? Do you listen to them the whole way through their spiel? Or do you just hang up right away or tell them, put me on the do not call list? I want to hear how you react to phone calls like that. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Sean Spruce is here with us. You may also know his alter ego. It's Dr. Percap. But today he is representing the First Nations Development Institute, and we're talking about fraud and scams. Sean, what kind of scams have you heard about in Native communities?
Well, you know, what we're seeing a lot of are still some of the, you know, the more traditional scams. You know, people selling, you know, steaks out of the back of a van on the side of a road. And, you know, they're charging top dollar for really low quality meat that just, you know, disintegrates when you put it in a pan and you try and fry it. We've got people coming around doing, you know, faulty, you know, repair work, claiming to, you know, fix a roof or complete some, you know, take care of somebody's blacktop on a driveway, resurface it. It's just really cheap, low quality, you know, type of a covering that'll just, you know, rinse off after it rains a couple of times. I can tell you one in particular scam that I came across, and this was actually down in Albuquerque a few years ago. I was driving down Central Boulevard right there on the corner of Central and San Mateo for people that know the Southwest. And a young guy pulls up next to me in a really flashy SUV, and he says, "Hey man, I got some really great speakers I can give you a good deal on. Why don't you check them out?" So he kind of, you know, flags me to pull over. So we pull over. I'm interested, you know, because, hey, some cool speakers. We pull over into a parking lot, and he tells me that he works for a local electronics company, an installer. And this morning when he was going out to make his run and do all of his installation work, the warehouse manager accidentally put an extra pair of speakers, top dollar high quality speakers, in his van or in his SUV, and there's no record of them. So if he just takes them back to the warehouse, you know, somebody's probably just going to, you know, do whatever with them, but he's willing to give me a really great deal on them. So I look at them, and the packaging is really flashy. It's got a product name on there, a price tag of about $500 a speaker. They look really cool. I'm like, well, wow, this might be a really good deal. You know, you never know. This really could be an opportunity. Well, when you look online, that's actually a really common scam. It's called the white van scam. And the speakers are these cheap knockoff speakers that are probably worth a fraction of the price tag. They're probably not even worth $50. So if a guy like that can, you know, hustle somebody into making them think they're getting this great deal on these speakers, you know, he's going to run off, and there's no way to ever track him down. There's no warranty on the product. Like I said, they're a really cheap product. And that's something that happened to me right there on Central Boulevard in Albuquerque. I know that scam operates in Phoenix. It operates on the West Coast. It operates in certain parts of, you know, the East Coast. So, you know, if I'm one Native person that got, you know, approached with that scam, I know there's others, especially, you know, our young people, you know, out there, you know, going to towns and driving around. Just something to be on the lookout for.
You know, Sean, that brings up an interesting question about, first of all, so you didn't buy the speakers, is what you're saying?
I didn't buy the speakers. No, you know what actually I offered the guy $75 for the pair, and he wouldn't take them. They had a $500 price tag on each one. So he said they were, you know, retail value on them was $1,000. I think he was offering them to me for half price, $500. I said, I'll buy them both for $75, and he wouldn't take it.
So you got saved because you were being a little cheap, huh?
Yeah, maybe so. But I'll tell you what, I was tempted. I probably would have paid $75 for them. And that's probably about what they were worth, maybe. I don't know. But definitely they weren't worth $500. Nothing close to that.
Well, we're talking about frauds and scams today. Do you have a fraud or a scam that you want to share with us that happened to you or almost happened to you? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo Springs, New Mexico, listening on KGLP. Mike, what would you like to share?
Oh, I'd like to share with the people, especially on the Native Americans there, you know, is that if you have a few spare change in your pocket, you know. Spend that as, or use it as common sense. And if it's, like you say, if it's too good to be true, then it isn't, you know. And it's also prevalent to challenge on the phone if they call you and stuff. Challenge, and ask, turn, do a turnabout and, you know, fair play to question their legitimacy. And especially border towns, now it's income tax time. And everybody's out to get that money from them Indians out there. So just beware, those predators are out there and you're the prey.
Mike, you bring up a really good point. And Sean, you know, Mike brought up a bunch of good points. But one, you know, using common sense when it comes to your money and things like that. But that's not always, you know, you think everyone, one of us thinks that we use common sense and everything like that. But the reality is that anyone can be scammed. It's not a question of one specific type of person. What kind of information do you have about who actually gets scammed?
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, statistically, 8 in 10 of Americans every year are approached with some sort of a fraudulent, you know, offer. Roughly $50 billion a year collectively in the United States is lost to fraud. And sadly, it's elders. You know, they're 34% more likely to you know, be victimized by fraud than middle-aged Americans. So, yeah, they're definitely going after, you know, a certain kind of person. But you're absolutely right. Anybody can be a victim. And, you know, fraudsters and scammers, they are masters of manipulation and human emotion, and they know what buttons to press, and they know when to get somebody when they're vulnerable. One common scam is to, you know, approach people like at the time of the loss of a family member or some sort of a, just a, you know, a critical issue that they're facing in life, and they might be traumatized or stressed. And a scammer will know right then to step in. We, like you said, we can all be victims. And, you know, a lot of times too, there's a whole element of social consensus, and you have a type of fraud called affinity fraud, in which a person that you might actually know or be associated with, they could be a coworker, they could be a relative, they could be somebody, you know, that belongs to a similar church group or social organization, they can actually come across and they can present the fraud. And that, you know, already a person's going to have their guard down. So there's certain persuasion tactics out there that fraudsters use, and they use them effectively. And yes, certainly anybody can be a victim.
Well, what about, you know, Mike brought up another thing about talking about, like, being forceful with people on the phone. And, you know, Sean, I have to admit to you that I don't want to be rude. I being polite is something that's important to me. But when I get these calls, I just, I can't believe, you know, this person called me. And how do I get out of this call without being rude, but also not getting scammed?
You know, Monica, I totally feel for you. And I think, you know, a lot of us, you know, as Native people, you know, we're raised to be respectful, you know, especially to elders or people in positions of authority. And it's really, you know, not our nature to, you know, to be rude like that and hang up phone abruptly and tell people, you know, to shut up and leave us alone. So I think in some ways, as Native people, we're a little bit more susceptible, you know, to some of these, you know, fraudulent tactics. And I would really just encourage, you know, all of us Native people to not worry about being polite in a situation like that. Is one time you don't have to be polite. You don't have to be courteous. You don't have to talk to these people. In fact, I would encourage you not to talk to them, because even if you just say no, or even if you just answer any type of question, or even just try and like politely tell them that you can't talk to them, they can use that and twist that around and keep you on the phone longer. And the longer they can keep you on the phone, the greater their chances of eventually, you know, turning you around and getting you to fall for whatever scam they're coming at you with. So I would really encourage you, when you get in a situation, you can tell this is not going anywhere well. This person is asking personal information. They're selling something that I'm not interested in. Just hang up. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say goodbye. You don't have to say, don't call me anymore. I mean, you can if you want, but I just click, end the phone call. If phone rings a minute later, don't answer it.
I want to put that out there to our listening audience. We're talking about frauds and scams today. When you get calls And it's somebody you don't want to talk to, somebody who's trying to sell you something or offer you an investment opportunity you're not sure about. How do you handle it? Give us a call and let us know. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, we also want to hear, do you have scams that have happened to you? You know, no judgment today. We want to hear about it. Give us a call and tell us about it. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Donna in Wasilla, Alaska, listening on KNBA. Hey there, Donna. What would you like to share today?
Well, I guess I'm pretty gullible because I've been scammed twice, and not just for hundreds of dollars, but thousands of dollars. One time was over $10,000 worth of artwork in a gallery in Hawaii, and Salvador Dali and Nancy Keene, who's those big eye pictures. And we thought it was an investment, and it turned out that they confiscated all the artwork because they were duplicates and they weren't real. And so we lost all that money. But we do have one. I think we got one painting and some prints out of the whole thing, that the painting we took, but we were storing it in Hawaii because we couldn't get it at that time because we were teaching in the village and stuff and traveling around. So it was stored there, and they confiscated it all. We never got it back. And then another time I invested in a timeshare, and they went bankrupt. I lost all my money. So probably altogether, I probably lost $15,000 and $20,000 worth of money. And then the funny thing about this all, though, is, you know, it's kind of, I guess I'm just not an investor, but they were trying to sell swampland in Florida, and I thought, oh, we're too stupid. We're not going to fall for that. We didn't buy it, and it turned out to be Walt Disney World. So I kind of can see, you know, I guess I can laugh about, you know, okay, I'm not an investor.
Well, Donna, thanks for sharing that with us. We really appreciate it. Sean, you know, Donna shared a couple of different scenarios. Anything you want to add to that, that Donna shared?
Well, first, I just really want to thank Donna for being so forthcoming and sharing that information. You know, it's one of the problems with scams and, you know, getting the word out is sometimes when people are victimized, they don't want to talk about it. And I understand that, you know, it's personal information. But I think if more people would just share those experiences and get the word out, I think more of us would be, you know, more on guard like that. But that's a really great story about the swampland down in Florida. It turns out to be Disneyland. But, you know, that's one of the, you know, the tactics that fraudsters will use. You know, it's a hot product. You know, there's a scarcity, you know, element to it. You better act now. And, you know, the crazy thing about investing is sometimes that is true. Sometimes there really are these hot products and you really do have to act quickly and you really do have to kind of know what you're doing as an investor. So I think it really just underscores, you know, the importance of understanding that, you know, any type of investment requires a lot of, you know, due diligence and some research. And, you know, you definitely got to know what you're doing before you, you know, dabble in things like that. But, wow, amazing story.
Well, we're talking about frauds and scams today on Native America Calling. If you have one you want to share with us, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Veronica in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on KUNM. Veronica, what would you like to share today?
I'd like to share with your listening audience the one that came across my email, and I think it's basically from outside the United States. And basically, I got one several years ago, and since I've gotten some more. But basically, they tell you your friends, and they name somebody maybe from your email or somebody. Let's say this name, this person, Joe Blow. They said, your friend Joe Blow is now in Rome, and he got into a bad accident and is in the hospital, and he was robbed, and now he doesn't have any money. Everything was stolen. Will you please send some money to help him out? And so, of course, you're thinking, oh, no, of course I want to help my friend, you know. And luckily, the first one that came through, the English was not very good, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, too bad for you guys because your English was not very good. But then I immediately emailed my friend who was supposed to be in Spain or wherever the place was and found out that, you know, that person was here in New Mexico safe and sound. And I have since gotten others, and so I just delete them when I get them. But I think that's one of the scams out there as well.
Thanks for sharing that, Veronica, giving us a call from Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on KUNM. Sean, is this a familiar scam to you that you've got, you know, how do they get the name of your friend to put that into the email?
Well, you know, I get probably at least one of those types of emails a week. And, you know, what happens is somebody hacks, you know, somebody's email account and they get a list of all their contacts. They can go through and look at emails, read them, see, you know, who their friends are, what their names are. And it happens. And, you know, sometimes you think of that, and I think some of us that are a little bit more tech savvy just kind of laugh and chuckle when we see those because, yeah, some often they're just really poorly written, and you can tell it's, you know, somebody that's just out to, you know, to fraud somebody. But, you know, some people can be victimized by that, you know, especially somebody that's just not real familiar with using email. They could certainly, you know, fall prey to that. So, you know, definitely something to be aware of, that type of scam. And another even more insidious method they'll use is they'll, you know, go through newspapers and they'll look in the obituary section and, you know, they'll find somebody that just recently passed away, and then they'll, you know, look and they'll find their next of kin and they'll have their names. They'll know what city they live in, and they can contact, you know, the next of kin and make a reference to being, you know, a friend of that deceased person. You know, and they catch you at the right time. That's a scam that, you know, a lot of people might fall for.
John, do you recommend that if you get an email like that, that you should change your password? Or is there anything else that you can do to sort of protect yourself against stuff like this?
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, it's really important that, you know, we change our passwords pretty frequently. You know, obviously there's a lot of passwords nowadays with all of our accounts, but probably at least, you know, every 6 months or so, you know, change your password. And not even so much for you receiving those emails. I would just delete them right away. Don't click on anything. Just, and it's, even if you see them come up and you can tell it's just some weird email from some address you've never seen with some weird proposition, just delete it without even opening it. But definitely, if you do open it, don't click on any links or anything like that. And then, you know, really protect yourself from getting hacked, because, you know, I know a lot of people who've had their accounts hacked, and these emails go out to all their contacts, you know, pretending to be, you know, these people. And, you know, so that's really the concern, is that your own account would be hacked and then you would be used, you know, as this this decoy to get access to, you know, all these people.
We are talking about frauds and scams today. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. What measures do you take to protect yourself against maybe having your email hacked or encountering fraudsters or scammers? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're going to a short break, but we'll be right back. It's been over 16 years since the film Smoke Signals made its way to theaters. On the next hour, we'll revisit a conversation we had with the cast and crew that used their talent to make this film a success. What kind of influence did this iconic film have on your life? We hope you can join us for this encore presentation of Native America Calling.
I'm giving thanks to the things around me. I'm giving thanks to a world that's letting me live freely. And in my way, I give a sema, a sema ki ene nan. And in my way, I ask for guidance, a sema ki.
Are you an experienced journalist passionate about bringing Native issues and perspectives to a wide audience? Have you demonstrated ability to lead radio producers and reporters in best practices to produce programs of the highest broadcast standards? You could be the next executive producer, manager of national programs at Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's Albuquerque-based Annenberg National Native Voice Studios. Find the full job description and how to apply at NativeAmericaCalling.com. February is Children's Dental Health Month. Cavities can be prevented by brushing your kids' teeth daily and by limiting sugary snacks and sodas. Please make an appointment for your family today and visit the dentist regularly. A gentle reminder from Napper, Inc., a tax-exempt organization.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Thanks so much for joining us today. Before we get back to our conversation about frauds and scams, I want to let you know about the many ways you can connect with us. Our website is NativeAmericaCalling.com, and you can find an archive of our past shows, information about our show, and you can sign up for our newsletter. And I promise we won't be sending you any emails telling you that you've won money in a foreign lottery. We'll just send you a list of the shows coming up for the next week. If you want to send us an email, send it to comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. And you can also reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Native America Calling. Today we're talking about frauds and scams. Our phone lines are open. If you have one that you'd like to share with us, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Call us and tell us what you do when people call and ask you for money or try to sell you something important. I want to hear how you handle those calls. Again, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Darren in Spokane, Washington, listening on KSFC. Darren, welcome to our hour. What would you like to share?
Hi, Monica. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I have developed a satisfying response when I get a phone call. What I do is I ask them for their personal home phone number and tell them I'd like to call them when I'm at work and they're at home and that I am interested in their product. And that kind of sends to stumbles them a little bit.
And has anyone ever given you their phone number?
Oh, no. No, they don't want to play it the other way.
Well, that sounds like an interesting one. Thanks for sharing that with us, Darren. Giving us a call from Spokane, Washington, listening on KSFC. Let's have Bill, who's also calling us from Spokane, listening on KSFC. Bill, what would you like to share?
Well, I receive calls, and they immediately tell me that they know I'm paying too much interest on my credit card. And I respond like this. I say, oh, yeah? How do you know what credit card I have? Well, we have am I on your list for a credit card? Do you want to give me a credit card? And I keep going back and forth like that, and they get so frustrated they hang up. Or I'll ask if they speak Spanish, and if they don't, I'll just say, well, I'm not talking to you then. Goodbye. I have fun with it.
Well, Bill, that's definitely one approach to it. I want to bring back our guest. We've got Sean Spruce. He's a program consultant for the First Nations Development Institute, and he is Laguna Pueblo. Sean, earlier we talked about dealing with folks on the phone and also dealing with email. Anything else you want to add to what our callers have shared?
No, I love that tip of just, you know, asking the person on the phone for their own home phone number. That's wonderful. I think the only thing I would be aware of is, you know, of watching out for the in-person scams too, because if somebody's over the phone, you can hang up on them. But if you're approached, you know, in a parking lot somewhere, here again, you know, that's something, you know, I would really encourage people just to be on their guard and, you know, always just be aware of their surroundings. And, you know, a good scam is, you know, always, you know, just close at hand, you know, so you just really want to be careful of that.
We're talking about frauds and scams today. Also, just general shady business dealings. Give us a call if you have something you want to share. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Sheila in Pierre, South Dakota, listening on KLND. Hey there, Sheila.
Hello.
What would you like to share today?
I don't think it's just, you know, like through the emails and things like that. I think my story starts with a friend of mine, a really close friend of mine, who went on some dating sites. And there was some military men on there who were, every one of the single guys she talked to was widowed and had a child and didn't have any really extended family. So she kind of fell into that. They talked for a little bit. He would never call her or anything, but he did ask her for $455. Another gentleman did the same thing. They said that they had no money, no nothing, you know, because they don't get any money until they get back to the States. I myself know that's not true, that they needed the money for the phone, to buy a phone so they could call her. And they were supposed to send it to a Western Union to this person. And then as soon as they got the money, excuse me, I have a cold. As soon as they got the money, then they would send her a number she can call, a link or whatever, so that, you know, the phone could get hooked up and blah, blah, blah. And I, you know what, I said, that doesn't even sound right. I said, I have a lot of family that's in the military. I said, I've talked to my nephews while they were in Iraq and Afghanistan. I said, and I've never heard of such a thing. So I said, let me look around a little bit. I said, do some snooping. We went into her email. The guy was in, oh gosh, it's a Scranton is where the phone calls were coming from. And I know there's a military base over there. So I told her, I said, it sounds really fishy. And they sent her this email to where she's supposed to send all this information or where she's supposed to wire the money. Now I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to talk to my friend at the VA. I called him. He said, that's not even a thing. That's not even true. I come to find out, I know the gentleman's name now. He actually is in the military, him and this other guy that were doing this to her. They're both in the military. They're both in the National Guard is what it was. They were over there for some. I know the names and I know where they lived. I told her, I said, you know what, don't send that money. But he needs it so he can call me. I said, it sounds really bad. And so anyway, come to find out, I told her, I said, this is what I found out. Showed her the name of the real guy, his Facebook page, everything. And the other guy, too.
Wow, Sheila, that sounds like you are some kind of CSI investigator dealing with all of this shady business. And, you know, you bring up a really good point about how people can be soliciting us anonymously or, you know, but it might just be a dating website. And online dating is a way that fraudsters can get involved. Sheila, thanks for giving us a call and sharing that from Pierre, South Dakota. We really appreciate it. We're talking about frauds and scams today. If you have something you want to share, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's add another voice to the conversation. Joining us now from Laguna Pueblo is in New Mexico is Marvin Ginn. He's the executive director of Native Community Finance, and Marvin is Choctaw. Hey there, Marvin.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good. Well, we are hearing some really interesting stories about frauds and scams. Anything that you want to share with us about some of the people that you've helped through Native Community Finance when it comes to these sort of shady deals?
You know, it's really interesting that they prey a lot on our elders, you know, on our seniors. And it's amazing that we have these type of people out there, but we have to deal with them. But I actually had one of our elders come to me. In fact, this was probably 6 months ago, and they had this piece of paper in their hand from supposedly a healthcare company that said, "Well, you have to send us, I think it was around $500 or $600." And after we get the check, then we will deposit it into your health savings account. And I go, "Oh, can't you just deposit this money in your health savings account?" And they go, "Well, I don't think we have a health savings account." And so I actually sat down and called the attorney general, got all the documentation required, filled it out for the couple, and turned it over to the attorney general. And so this type of thing happens. And I had another elder that called me, and she said, I just got a call from the IRS, and they said if I don't get this check in the mail today to them, that they're going to come out and arrest me. So, you know, we have situations that happen quite often that are really shady.
Yeah, that does sound really shady, Marvin. Well, we're talking about fraud today and general shady business. And I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Gabriel in Bemidji, Minnesota, listening on KOJB. Gabriel, what would you like to share?
Well, basically, I've had two things happen to me in like the last month. I had a phone call saying that I shopped at one of the major retailers, and if I paid $1.35, I could get a $500 gift card in return. Well, anything that sounds too good to be true, I always question. So I just basically asked if they had my credit card information, if I gave that to them, if they would have access to that, if I paid the $1.35, and they said yes. I told them I was uncomfortable with it, and if I changed my mind, I would call them back. Did I? No. Second thing, my boyfriend's phone got a Trojan virus on it. It's actually an Android, and it was all locked up. You couldn't do anything on it. Said he had to go to Walgreens and pay $250 to get it unlocked. We eventually got it figured out using YouTube. So that was basically a scam from hackers. So there's a lot of different things out there. So, yeah.
Gabrielle, thanks so much for sharing that with us. We really appreciate it. It is. There's some shady, shady business going on out there. But there are ways that we can protect ourselves against it. We've got Sean Spruce. He's a programs consultant for First Nations Development Institute. And we also have Marvin Ginn from Native Community Finance on the line with us today. And there's still time for you to get in on the conversation. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Sean, I want to go back to you about, you know, some of the techniques. We've heard a variety of stories today. What are some of the pressure techniques that scammers use to try and get people to, you know, fork over the money or sign up for something?
Sure. Well, you know, there's five main persuasion tactics that scammers will use. And interestingly enough, these are also some of the same persuasion tactics that, you know, legitimate advertisers will do. So it's just something to think about in terms of how people, you know, trigger human emotions and get us to make decisions. Number one is phantom riches. And that's when somebody just dangles this prospect of wealth and, you know, all these fabulous things will happen if you, you know, take this offer. Another is source credibility. And that's where they'll, you know, cite, you know, maybe a famous person, or they'll say, you know, hey, a friend of yours we know, you know, they're using this product, and it's a really good product, and, you know, we have, you know, all this research that backs it, or, you know, some sort of, you know, documentation or supposed documentation that says this is a good deal. Then you have scarcity, and that's when they say, hey, you know, this is act now, this is going fast, this is deal only for a limited time, so you better make your move quickly. Reciprocity is another interesting persuasion tactic, and that's where they might offer you something or they might do you a small favor in return to gaining your loyalty and getting you to, you know, buy onto whatever scam they're presenting. And I know some of the folks that will do, you know, these, you know, really cheap, you know, home repair work, they'll come into a neighborhood and, you know, they'll go up on somebody's roof and they'll say, hey, I see your gutters need to be cleaned out. We'll go ahead and do that. And they'll actually do that. They'll clean somebody's gutters for free, but then they'll turn around and say, hey, you know, we see that, you know, you're the whole siding of your house is in bad shape and we can, you know, take care of that for you with this spray or something like that. So at this point, the person feels obligated because they've already done them the favor of cleaning out the gutters. And then lastly, we have social consensus. And that's where they just get other people to buy into the scam. And when you see maybe your friends or your relatives and they're also, you know, participating, then you feel more likely to participate too because you've got that social connection with the other victims.
We're talking about frauds and scams today. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Marvin, You know, one thing that we wanted to talk to you about today that isn't technically a scam, but definitely falls under shady business is the short-term lending. You know, when you can get either a title loan or a payday loan, things like that. I understand that you've helped people get out of things with outrageous percentage, interest percentage. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I definitely think this is shady business practice. In fact, I think it's, loan sharking is what I call it, because it should be a crime. Most recently, the highest I've done in the past 3 or 4 months is refinanced a loan at 719%. You know, that's a person that's making, you know, taking a loan out at about $500 and paying back over $2,300. It's insane. And this is the type of thing that is going on. You know, we in New Mexico are trying to get a 36% cap on all loans, and that way, you know, maybe we'll run these predatory loans out. But people get into these loans, and there's no underwriting on them. And the business model for these is that they want to continually refi these loans at that place of business. And I have one example where a person took out a $1,500 loan and refinanced it 8 times, so they ended up paying back $11,500. Now, this is a type of loan sharking that happens, and it's really bad. And it's especially bad in Native communities because of access to capital. We have no banks. We have no credit unions on the reservations. So these internet and these storefront places give access to capital real easy, because they're not doing any underwriting, any type of background on these people. They're just giving the money, and if they lose that loan, that's all right, because they're making, you know, $10,000 on the next one. And this type of lending is just, it's not immoral as far as I'm concerned.
Marvin, you know, one of the things that falls under lending I've seen recently, there's folks standing out on the street, and they are dressed, they look like they're dressed as the Statue of Liberty. And it says, get $75 today is the sign that they're holding up. And I think that has to do with the filing your tax return and some like getting a loan on your refund. Tell us what's going on with that.
Yeah, it's more of the shady practices, I call. And Sean can also chime in on this, because we actually work together on a project. But we have these companies, and the one that you mentioned is Liberty, and they try to get you in there, because then they'll give you a loan on top of it to get your business there. And these loans will have a high interest rate so that you get your money immediately. And, you know, it's just another method of loan sharking, you know, of stripping assets from our native people. And it's happened, you know, there's pawn shops that do it, and all sorts of mom and pop shops that do it. And at Native Community Finance, we started a VITA site where we did free tax preparations for people, for seniors and elders, and people that make $53,000 or less can get their taxes done for free. And it just makes more sense to go to a reliable source than to these what I call predatory type tax preparers.
That's right. Well, our phone lines are blowing up, so let's go to the phones. We've got Avril in Wombly, South Dakota, listening on Keeley. Avril, what would you like to share?
Oh, just to share that on our television, they were telling about people who are using the TurboTax online software to file people's income tax and then get your refund. So I just wanted to share that. That was just recently. So,
thanks for sharing that, Avril. Let's go to Yolanda in Taos, New Mexico, listening in on KUNM. Yolanda, what would you like to share?
I would like to share the scam that almost happened to me. someone called me and told me that I won, like, maybe somewhere in the millions or billions. And so I was kind of, I told them I was interested to see where this was going. And they said it was no scam and the whole thing. And so they actually had me go into the bank. And so they said, you know, you don't have to tell them that it's for a winning, but you could say it was for a home improvement or something like that. And so it was almost kind of sounding too good to be true, but then it was kind of sounding like playing me a little dumb and stuff. So I'm like, they said, are you with me? I said, this is a trick. So I hung up, and they were even offering me a car and stuff like that. And
wow, Yolanda, that sounds like you dodged a bullet with that one for sure. Well, we're talking about frauds and scams today, and I want to add one more voice to our conversation. Joining us now from Flagstaff, Arizona, is Lauren Winkler. She's the managing attorney for DNA People's Legal Services in Flagstaff. Hey there, Lauren.
Hey, Monica.
So we have covered a lot of different scams and frauds, and we've also talked about some shady business practices today. From a legal perspective, what kind of recourse do people have if they find themselves in one of these situations?
Well, it often depends on what kind of scam it is. A lot of the ones we've talked about first, about emails and phone calls that you receive, there's less legal recourse for those types of things, only because it's really hard to track those people down who are doing that. However, I think the best thing for people to do when they find themselves getting contacted from unknown sources through email or by phone or even by letter is to send a complaint to their attorney general's office. Most states have a way to do that online or a form to send in about what they've experienced, and what the attorney general can do is start investigating it. I really encourage people to do that, because if the attorney general gets enough complaints about the same kind of scam or the same person or company or whoever, they'll be able to actually target that person and or people and maybe do something about it so that it's stopped and there aren't any more victims of that particular scam. Aside from the Attorney General, there's also the Federal Trade Commission that does something similarly. It's just the federal government looking into it. So I always encourage people who get those kind of emails and phone calls to report them, because even if you didn't fall victim to the scam or you did, reporting it and talking about it, I think, like Sean said, is important so that others don't do this or fall for the same thing.
Lauren, I recently heard some audio of a debt collector calling and telling this woman that they were going to call the sheriff and get a warrant for their arrest if they didn't pay off their debt. What about things like that?
Yeah, I actually see that a lot, unfortunately. There are a lot of laws, federal laws, that basically regulate what debt collectors are allowed to do, and telling someone that they're going to be arrested or they're going to get a warrant for their arrest is absolutely illegal, whether that's by phone or I've seen it written in debt collection letters as well. People get very scared, obviously, and understandably, when that's being threatened, and oftentimes might, you know, give up and start paying the money to the debt collector. So if that ever happens, I would encourage anyone to see an attorney at legal services or have some kind of free consultation with someone to talk about that, because that's definitely illegal.
Lauren, thanks so much for talking to us today. And where can folks learn more about DNA Legal Services?
We do have a website, DNA Legal Services. I want to say .com, but we have a website. If you Google DNA People's Legal Services, there's a little bit on there about all of our offices. We have about 12 offices throughout northern Arizona and New Mexico and the Navajo Nation. So all the phone numbers and addresses are there for people.
Thanks so much, Lauren. And Marvin, we're coming to the end of our hour. Any final thoughts you want to share about frauds, scams, general shady business?
Well, you know, my major thought would be everybody think about it. And if you have any doubts, you know, call the attorney general. Call our office. You know, I'll be glad to talk to them here in New Mexico. And let's see if it's for real. But don't do the instant gratification thing where you think, oh, that's it. You know, and that's going to be my big take for today. And normally if it looks too good to be true, it is too good to be true. So just sit back, take a deep breath, and don't do it.
And where can folks learn more about Native Community Finance?
We have a website, which is www.nativecommunityfinance.org. It's under construction right now. We're redoing it, but they're more than welcome to go on there. It gives our telephone number and everything if nothing is answered right away.
All right. Marvin, thanks so much. And Sean, we are right at the end of our hour. Any final information you want to give out to our audience where they can learn more?
Yes. First Nations Development Institute has teamed up with the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority Investor Education Foundation and teamed up and created a Fighting Fraud 101 campaign. It's specifically designed to address the fraud risks and needs in Indian country. So we've got some great materials available. Check us out our website, www.firstnations.org. And we can also possibly come to your community and provide a Fighting Fraud 101 training. We do have some funds to do that this spring.
All right. Sean, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Thanks to our guests, Sean Spruce, Marvin Ginn, and Lauren Winkler. On Monday, we have an encore presentation of Smoke Signals show, and we'll be back live Tuesday with a show about racism in kids. Tara Gatewood is our host. Our associate producer is Annie Murphy. Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm senior producer Monica Brain. Have a great weekend.
February is Children's Dental Health Month. Cavities can be prevented by brushing your kids' teeth daily and by limiting sugary snacks and sodas. Please make an appointment for your family today and visit the dentist regularly. A gentle reminder from Napper, Inc., a tax-exempt organization.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Support provided by the Tribal Telecom and Technology Conference, weaving pathways across the digital divide, May 4th through the 7th, 2015, at the Hotel Albuquerque at Old Town, bringing together tribes and the telecom and technology industries to pursue solutions that advance digital opportunities for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. The annual Tribal Telecom Golf Classic will be held May 4th at the Isleta Eagle Golf Course. Info at tribaltelecomconference.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.